So we're on week three, and it's how do we worship? So week one was what is worship, and then we did why do we worship, and now how. And I really felt, just to start off with what I really kind of remembered from what we've done in the past 2 weeks, so talking about what is worship and why. See, these were some of the highlights I'd written down, some notes I'd made. So we know that worship is a lifelong posture. It is a response to who God is. We know that God made us with a design to worship. So that means we are always worshiping something, as Mark said. So I had some questions here to think of, like, what has your attention? What has your affection? What are you constantly thinking about? Where is your focus? And lastly, we need right worship because it puts our focus rightly and it takes our attention and puts it where it needs to be, adjusting our posture to that of adoration and submission. So I feel like those are some of the things we've covered in the last 2 weeks. Today there's kind of two words that I really felt were highlighted to me as I was preparing. The one is response, and the other one is expression. I think this really like sums up worship in general. And again, I probably will cover a bit of what is worship and why and how and all that. They do kind of overlap a little bit. So these two words, response and expression. So starting with response, there's this idea, there's this inner essence of worship that really starts in the mind and starts in the heart. And then there is this idea of external expression, and that's kind of what I wanted to highlight. So I want to refer to Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, where it kind of talks a little bit about this, where Jesus gives this idea that there's kind of these two separate parts. He does this again in John with the woman at the well, but here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." So here Jesus is making a clear distinction that, you know, there's this external worship. They are honoring me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so they're worshiping in vain, which really means they're not worshiping at all. And I read something that John Piper said when I was doing some reading about this. And I really thought just to read it because he just summed it up really well. He says, "For Jesus, this worship amounts to zero. That is what vain means. In vain do they worship me. Zero. It is not worship. This is zero worship. So it is zero if there is no heart dimension to it. So you can do as many deeds as you want and go to as many church services as you want and never be worshiping at all if it is all external and if nothing is happening in your heart towards God. All true worship is in essence a matter of the heart. It is more, and there's more to it, but it is not less than that." Before I go on, here's a nice little summary that I was writing down here. The inner essence of worship is to know God truly, and so then we respond from the heart to that knowledge by valuing God, by treasuring Him, by prizing God, by enjoying God's presence, by being satisfied with God above all earthly things. And then in that deep, restful, joyful satisfaction in God, it overflows in our demonstration and our acts of praise from our lips and our demonstrating our acts of love and serving others for the sake of Christ. I feel like the key is that it starts in the place of knowing God and starts in that place of revelation, and then what is happening in our response in our minds and in our hearts. And that overflows, that starts to begin to overflow in our actions. It's quite cool how on Friday night, and even as I've been preparing for this, so many things that God has been speaking to me about have been relating, like, I don't know, on Friday, today, and Ethan brought up something on Friday night as I was preaching at youth, and it all related back to my last preacher when I said, "Are you desperate for Jesus?" And I was speaking about how everything we do flows from our heart and where our attention is at, where our focus is at. That depicts our whole life and all our actions. So there again, everything outward flows from that place of what's happening in our heart. And so we can look here even at John 4 verse 23. So this is often referred to when we're talking about worship, this chapter, and then specifically this verse 23, where it says, "Yet a time," where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, saying, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. I wrote something down here. So there's two parts here where it's talking about spirit and another part on truth. So for the truth part, I feel like what Jesus is saying is that there's the part of worship is there's a right understanding of God. So we can be worshiping an idol if we have our own perception of who God is that is not who God is actually. And then that's not true worship. So part of worship is that there is a truth aspect to it. It's knowing God for who he truly is, like having a true revelation by the Spirit, God revealing himself to you. So that is definitely the truth part. And then the spirit part that I feel Jesus is really referring to, and he speaks about that in the rest of the chapter as well, is saying that, you know, you guys worship in a temple. You worship in a building, but a time is coming where, like, those things are not going to matter. You can be outside of a building. Worship doesn't have to be your body. You can be completely paralyzed and still worship Jesus. You can worship in your, what he's saying is in your heart, essentially. You worship in your mind. So after that right understanding of who God is and that revelation, you're worshiping in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit. There's another scripture here, Romans 12 verse 1, that I feel really talks about worship as well. And you guys all know this, but Romans 12 verse 1 saying, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So Paul is like, he's really just giving a, this is like, I could end it here. This is the, like, Paul is saying, this is your true and proper worship. This is a good summary of how you can worship. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. We kind of already touched on this in the last week where Christoph kind of already started with that, saying that our posture is adoration and submission. And Paul's talking about this here, submission, submitting ourselves. I think the idea here is that, he's really saying worship is a sacrifice, to give of yourself, to lay down yourself, to lay down your own wants, your own desires, to essentially lay down everything and completely start afresh and align yourself with God's will. So giving of everything, laying it, and it's costly and it's real. It's an act of surrender and faith. So I think this all is talking about the response. So I've kind of covered a lot around the response that starts in your mind, it starts in your heart. And it is, like Christoph said, it's a posture of submission and surrender. And then you have the expression. So I wrote something here. Worship is not just an abstract idea or ideological construct. So yes, it is in our minds, it is in our hearts. But like Paul is saying here, we lay down everything. Like our whole bodies is becoming a sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing. So everything we do with our bodies is an act of worship, an act of surrender. So our attitudes, our actions, our thoughts, our words, every single word we're saying is essentially worship to God. Everything we do, every step we take. So I said, when we worship God with our words, our actions, and our attitudes, it will result in some kind of expression. So just like we enjoy good food, like we enjoy good music, athletics, all these things that God created and the things we do, they always result in some sort of expression or some sort of appreciation or like happiness might be a good way to describe it. So like, cheering when someone does well, like it's just, that's natural. Like it's hard to describe, but that's like what we naturally do. There's an expression part of humanity that appreciates things, that appreciates good things and pleasing things. I'm reminded of my hike, like it's something that I love about going to the mountains that's so different to the city, and you begin to appreciate some of God's creation that's just so different to what you see in everyday life, and you just see these majestic mountains that are 1,000 times your size, and it reminds you of the bigness of God and this God that creates these things. But then, like, my expression is just when I go there, I can't help but just being like, wow. And, like, just taken aback and awestruck. And so expression is such a natural thing. And like I said earlier, expression, it becomes the overflow of what's happening inside of us. So Yeah, so I just lost my track of thought there, but I was speaking around expression, and yeah, like these are all things that God created. They are beautiful, and so I really believe our outward expression is beautiful, and we express in our daily lives, like I said, with cheering, with appreciating good food, and how much more beautiful when we express our awe of God and our relationship with Him and our thankfulness for who He is and what He's done for us. Yeah, so in light of this, in all of this, we have our response and our expression, our outward expression. In light of this, how do we practically, how do we worship? I wrote here as one of my first things, worship is tying your shoelaces and being mindful of Him. Like, it is so simple. Like, we do not have to overcomplicate this thing. Worship should flow naturally. Because it's an overflow, like I said. So when you see something that is good, you naturally begin to appreciate it. So we don't have to begin to overcomplicate the worship thing and being like, okay, there's some specific style or there's some specific way that I'm going to have to do this. But it's like natural. If what you see, if you truly see God, the natural next step of the process is awe, is being awestruck. That's just because of who God is. And then naturally what follows from that is an expression of awe. So it's like we don't really have to overcomplicate this. It's in simple, it's like, in simple, it's your personal response to who God is. And so for me, when I'm thinking about how do we worship, I wrote some things here, is that it has to be personal. Like, you're not doing worship if it's not personal, if it's not simple, if it's not honest, if it's not pure and honest and vulnerable, then it's not worship. Like, it's really just a natural overflow of what's happening in your heart, what you've seen, and what you're beginning to understand and feel. And you're just expressing that, like pure, raw, simple, that is worship. And then I wrote a few other things here. Experiencing His presence is worship, and getting to know Him, and the most intimate parts of our heart and soul. For me personally, when I see Jesus for who He truly is, and I begin to actually be mindful of that, and I begin to process somewhat of who God is, and I receive that revelation, and I'm awestruck by just what He's done and who He is and what He has so freely given us, I just can't help but begin to like just fall at His feet and just somehow want to give Him everything. Like, I just, it's sometimes hard to describe, but I want to, in any way possible, I want to give Him all that I possibly have in any way. And that's just how it naturally flows. I wrote here, worship is being obedient to Christ's will. So Scripture shows us, like how we've read, that our words, our actions, our attitudes, everything we do is worship to God when they have been devoted to Him. And worship is making much of Christ. So like how we've talked about, and especially in the last weeks, how it's, worship changes our posture and how it corrects our view of us here and God is up there, this beyond our understanding, big God. So worship is making much of Christ. True worship displays the greatness of God, and it shouldn't distract from it. So I feel that is how we can worship. And then just to briefly touch on corporate worship. So corporate worship is also something so beautiful. And when I think about it, it's like, then again, corporate worship is also just an overflow of what's happening in our devotion, in our personal worship, in our personal lives. As we begin to take that step of faith and surrender, start to surrender every little thing of us, the deepest parts of us, and as we learn to worship God in our lives, in everything we do, and then we come together and we express that, what God has been doing in our hearts and the revelations we've been receiving and the feelings of like as much as it's not just all about feeling, there is this thing of feelings is real. Like experiencing God's presence and the joy of delighting in God is such a raw feeling. It's real. And when we begin to express that and then together express that in our own ways, because God created us all different, there's such a beautiful expression of Jesus and of worship to Him. So that is also beautiful. And yeah, I was writing something here, just in my personal, in your personal worship, you know, not outside of corporate worship now, in your personal worship, you know, in your own quiet time with Jesus, like I really feel like sometimes, well, even in corporate worship, that there's a, you're joining with what God is doing, right? So there's, the Holy Spirit is present, and I really feel sometimes like the Holy Spirit sits on something, like the Holy Spirit is present, and it can sit on a moment, it can sit on a song, it can really highlight something to you, bring something to your attention, and sit and say, like God is doing something here. And then that is your opportunity to say, well, do you want to be a part of that? How will you respond to that? And I wrote some questions for me, like, how will you let the Spirit lead you, Josh? How will you respond to what the Spirit is doing? Will you let the Spirit take you to heavenly places? Yeah, that's pretty much what I've got. Amen.